And before work each morning, they had a quiet time to read a Bible story and think about it on their own. Then at night, they would gather to talk about what they were doing and thinking. And she observed that as they repeated this pattern of Bible study and work day after day, that something really awesome began to happen. She started to see a pattern. There she was, way out of her comfort zone, far from home, sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag every night and doing hard jobs every day. And amazingly, God was taking care of her and challenging her at the same time. But the coolest part of the pattern was getting involved in what God was doing. It was like God was working through her to care for these little kids who usually didn't get the kind of attention that she was giving them. It was like she was becoming God's hands in that place. And at one of the evening devotionals, Jeremy, their youth director, compared their mission trip to a dance. He said, "On each day, all the different practices that are part of a good life are right there. We eat, we pray, we work, we play, we sing. We don't worry about how we look or wish we had more stuff because everyone is wearing work clothes and we're all living out of a suitcase anyway. And we're surrounded by a community of friends who discuss the things that really matter. And somehow, all these practices fit together into a rhythm that feels right. You feel like you are moving to a beat that comes from someplace deep and true." He went on to say that their image of the good life is not about having lots of stuff or being more successful than other people. Instead, it's about getting involved in the loving, challenging life of God. It's about learning the dance. Over the summer, we spent each Sunday talking about a particular spiritual practice. I preached sermons on discernment, testimony, saying yes and saying no, singing our lives, shaping communities, hospitality, breaking bread, keeping Sabbath, and honoring the body. And our friend, the Reverend Dr. Libby Boatwright, preached sermons on forgiveness, dying well, and household economics. And I was so thrilled that she was willing to take part in this sermon series, and I know that all of us were enriched with her participation in that. And these sermons can be found on our church website, and you can also find additional resources about these practices on the Practicing Our Faith website, practicingourfaith.org. And all these practices taken together are essentially an invitation to get involved in the loving, challenging life of God. But how do we get started? That was quite a long list that I just went over. And if a pattern for a good life can be described as a dance, then how do we learn the first steps? Spiritual director Marjorie Thompson defines a rule of life as a pattern of spiritual disciplines that provide structure and direction for growth in holiness. And please don't think of holiness as being somehow like holier than thou, or that you never say a bad word when you smash your thumb with a hammer, or you don't curse out the copy machine when it doesn't print out your sermon on a Sunday morning. That one was hypothetical. Instead, holiness is learning the steps to the dance. Holiness is about finding a holistic way to live in relation to God, ourselves, and others. And that kind of holiness takes discipline. In the words of 1 Peter, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. And centuries later, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, would urge people just to get started. Don't worry if you don't think you're doing it right or not, but just get started with immersing yourself in the Word or praying. And that if you don't ever get started, you risk trifling the rest of your life. Now, here are some examples of a rule of life, of trying to put it all together. Dorothy Day, the founder of the Catholic Worker Movement, had a fairly succinct rule of life, which was to receive the Eucharist daily, to read the Bible daily, and keep a journal that was for her a form of prayer. And she would also look for Christ in the faces of the poor. Martin Luther King Jr. had a much longer list of practices to guide the volunteers in the civil rights movement. And his list included, among other things, to meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus, to walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love, to refrain from violence of fist, tongue, or heart, and to pray daily to be used by God in order that all might be free. Now, here is my personal rule of life, and it's aspirational. I don't live up to it perfectly, but here it is. The first element is 5:44 Richard Rohr. This means that my alarm goes off at 5:44 in the morning, and I read the email from Richard Rohr from the Center for Action and Contemplation. And then after that, I read the daily Bible readings from BibleGateway.com, which, if I do faithfully every day, enables me to read through the Bible in a year. Now, this element used to be 4:44 Richard Rohr, and then I decided that I really needed that extra hour of sleep. So now it's 5:44 Richard Rohr, and it still rhymes. The next element is pray the day. Again, I like rhyming. And this includes planning and prioritizing the day and praying about it so that I can focus on what's most important. And the goal is not efficiency. The goal is not to check off as many things on my to-do list as I possibly can. The goal is focusing on what's most important, and it's based on the relationships in my life and the roles that I have. Whatever I need to do that day to nurture those relationships, that is what is most important to do in that day. And on the mornings when I do this, it goes well. On the mornings when I forget, I not only lose my focus, but I'm apt to forget my 9 o'clock appointment and all kinds of things. It really helps center me if somehow I can pray through the day at the beginning. The next two are eat my daily bread and walk the day, which for me are reminders to strive for balance with regard to diet, light exercise, and overall health. And then the next element near the end of the day is called replay the day. And this is where I try to practice the spiritual practice of the examine, of reviewing the events of our day and then bringing it to God. Was I really able to focus on what was most important? Did I follow through on promises that I made, or did I let them slip? And then I try to identify one specific change that I can make the next day. And the final element of my rule to life is to sleep the night, which for me means to turn over to God all the unfinished business and go to sleep. Now, Marjorie Thompson identifies three questions to ask as one tries to formulate a rule of life. And these questions are listed in your bulletins. And the first is, what am I deeply attracted to and why? If you're just getting started with this idea of a rule of life, it's probably most helpful to begin with those practices that resonate with you the most, the ones that you're probably already doing, and focus your energies there. An introvert, for instance, might be drawn to spiritual reading and journaling, while an extrovert might be more drawn toward hospitality and shaping communities. And also do what's most congruent with your life situation right now. If you're retired, it's a lot easier to do an hour a day of spiritual reading than if you're the parent of young children or in a really intense graduate school program. And that's okay. Do what's congruent with your circumstances right now. And then a second question to ask is, where do I feel God is calling me to stretch and grow? If doing what feels like the best match for our personalities is a way to get started, then as we do grow spiritually, We may consider adding practices that stretch us, that take us out of our comfort zone, because that is a path toward spiritual growth. And the third question is, what kind of balance do I need in my life? And on the bulletin cover, you'll notice a graphic from a monastic community called the Society of St. John the Evangelist. And when they encourage their members to develop a rule of life, they stress balance as they try to relate to God, self, others, and God's creation. And notice also that it's labeled growing a rule of life. And it has a little growing plant in the corner. And I love that because our rule of life should change and grow and adapt as we ourselves grow spiritually. It's not static. It's meant to be fluid. It's meant to keep growing. And as you seek balance, you can add disciplines. Like perhaps because you are an introvert, God is calling you to open yourself up to community spiritual practices, in which case you're being called to stretch and grow because you need to develop that interpersonal side of your spirituality. And if you are an extrovert, God may be inviting you to look inward more often, to pause more often, to pay attention to the motives and needs beyond your desire to always stay busy and always interact with others. In the words of Marjorie Thompson, look closely at the spiritual practices you've learned about. Some may appeal to you or even repulse you. Some you may not want to even deal with, like dying well. That can be a hard one. But bring the matter into prayer. Why do you feel such resistance to this particular discipline? Does God have anything else to say to you about it? A strong negative reaction to a practice such as honoring the body or household economics may reveal to you that you are resisting paying attention to a part of your life that is in need of healing. And the way to enter that healing journey is to address that part that needs to be addressed. And ask God to show you what spiritual disciplines you need in your life right now. You may be surprised by the response. And ultimately, incorporating spiritual practices into your rule of life gives you a chance to get involved in what God is doing in you and in the world around you. It's all about becoming part of the loving, challenging life of God. It's all about learning the dance by getting out there on the floor. All glory and praise be to our God. Amen.